Chavisolvavas Women Sunday afternoon. Shar HaBechina Ches Tammuz. We'll be starting in a few seconds. Okay, so everybody is out appreciating Hashem's world. It's a pity that people get bored from this. If it doesn't speak to them, it's a pity. Chavavos considers it totally essential. And without studying what to be grateful for, what to be thankful for, you don't. I would bet you that out of 100 people that say Modani lefanecha melechai v'kayom shechazar to be nishmosi b'chem lo rabo emunas b'chem lo rabo emunasecha, I would bet you there's 5 people that feel grateful to be alive when they wake up in the morning. That feel grateful, not just that say. Everybody says Modani, but not so many people feel, wow, thank you Hashem, thank you for returning my neshama. Feel grateful means you feel grateful. Not, you know, thank Aunt Myrna for the birthday gift. Thank you, Aunt Myrna. That's our moda'ani. It's very sad. And we're trying to learn Chavis al Bavis to, I mean, he spent, this is it. This is after Shar HaYichud. There's no bigger expression of essentiality than that, and it's very okay. Now he's in the middle of a big chiddush. It's even people who have reached a certain level of feeling gratitude, feeling thankful, they don't connect it when there's human inventions. They don't think of we'll talk about all inventions, all things that are man-made. It's not man-made, it's Hashem choosing to send down that inspiration to, whether it's what's his name, Richard Morse, whatever his name is, or Alexander Graham Bell, or Bill Gates, or whatever the name happens to be, the printing press guy. Hashem sends down in the door that he wants to that inspiration. It's Hashem. So he's in the middle. So he brings down now. He talked about a strong central government with police force and armies. This is a chesed Hashem, and he tries to say, you know, it's really, how does it come about that people who argue over every little thing get together, and by and large they get together and form a government, pick a king. And now he's talking about the monetary system. Who thinks of the monetary system of the Chesed Hashem? You think of it as did the dollar or shekel go up, or did the dollar and shekel go down? Or if you're in finances, so you think, how's the world economy doing? But the idea of money, he says, is such an unbelievable thing. It's so such a Chesed Hashem, and it's so from Hashem, there's no logic to it. All you need to do is for people to wake up one day and say, what good will all this gold do for me? It's not going to do any good. Gold is worthless. It's valueless. Hashem made a scarcity of it, or relative scarcity. So then already that increases its value in the eyes of people. People want to have it, and it's scarce, so it's valuable. But it really doesn't make sense. You can decide that about anything. Koshkin, paper money. So it's a chesed Hashem, because that's how the world functions, with money. If I want to hire someone to paint my house, so I don't have to ask him what he wants. He wants a couple of bushels of grain. I don't have a couple bushels of grain. I got to go find a couple bushels of grain now.
the world wouldn't work. Hashem, well, so the monetary system is not currency. The idea of currency, the idea that legal tender is Chesed Hashem, and it's Shar HaBechina, because it really is not logical. So that's what we're in the middle of. We're towards the end, and
that people buy and sell things in exchange for gold and silver, and they put effort into accumulating more gold. People are industrious. People build things because they want to make money. He's not going into the hashkafic aspect of that now. He's going into how the world works. Things, people build better mousetraps usually because they want to have money. They want to sell it. They want, but they want something that's of no value, right? So they say, okay, it'll get me things. So that's the Bechemos Abori Aleihem. This is Hashem's compassion for mankind. Because this improves mankind. It improves the affairs of mankind. Even though you can't use gold and silver for anything. Maybe jewelry, a little use it has. It looks nice as jewelry. But if you're hungry or thirsty, because of lack of food and water, lo yo ilehu rubam, it's not going to help him. Even having a lot of gold and silver is not going to help intrinsically. Lo yamale machsoros, it won't help what you're missing. So that's not what you should be looking for. You should be looking for bread and water. You're not looking for money. Chenim yimtzeu bechad mi'avorav ke'ev, health. Lo yirofe bezov v'kesef, gold and silver is not going to heal you. Grada, he says, there are other minerals that help heal the body, but very few. Gold and silver is not used. Maybe in your teeth. It's an amazing sign of Hashem's wisdom. That some people have more. But most people only have a little. So that gives it its value. That's the way it works. The people think it's valuable. People treat it as valuable because of its scarcity. And he's really saying a deeper idea, that the inequality of the distribution of wealth is a chesed Hashem. Because he's being very capitalistic, the Chavos HaLavos. You want to get ahead. You want to have more money. You want to have as much money as the next fellow. You want more money. So you work. If everybody would be wealthy and equally wealthy, so nobody would work. It would be more of a struggle to get people to do things, to produce things, to build things, to invent things. Why do people study Chochmas many times? It's only because it'll get them financial rewards. If everybody had a lot of gold and silver, that wouldn't accomplish anything, and people wouldn't strive to have it. They have no intrinsic value, but they have a lot of perceived value. They're precious because they're scarce, but menivzim me'od, they're really worthless. But neishen toilus ba'atzmam, v'zemana machshava ha'ma'ula, asher b'chokhmah el'yona. This is all part of the grand plan of divine wisdom, that allows the world to work. It's a miracle of Hashem. The Gemara says it, that the idea of legal tender and coins and currency is recognized by society, and therefore society works on a global scale. The desire for money drives the world. The global economy is driven by the desire for money and things that are built and the things that are done, and whether it's bridges or airplanes or what governments do for the, and they
may say it's for the benefit of the people, but it's most of the time it's for the benefit of creating wealth. I am Adam Smith, Wealth of Nations. Oh, he doesn't say that. I'm sorry. I must have, I have a different edition, maybe. Yeah. Now, the Chovas HaLulavos points out, makes another point. We're getting to the end. And he makes another point, which is, I think it's a very famous point. Or maybe if you have heard Rabbi Victor Miller's tapes, Rabbi Victor Miller's Atzal reiterates this point often. But it's a famous point in the Chovas HaLulavos. I can't talk to you now. Call me after mincha. Bye. And that is that, again, Shara Bechina. You look around. Look into things. What we need to survive. But look at things that the body depends on for its survival, for its existence, until the time of death comes. If you look at the world, the globe, this planet that we occupy, you'll see it's constructed and made to produce and encourage life. Life. Other planets are not built to make life, to encourage life. Adaraba. First of all, the whole idea, you talked about it, we talked about it, soil, the idea that the earth has soil where things grow, and the way the sun and photosynthesis and the rain cycle. So first of all, the earth is the globe. The earth is one big food producing machine. That's like primarily, if you think it's producing food, but that's not the Chovas HaLulavos' point here. His point is that things, scarcity or abundance is mamish in a sliding scale for how essential they are for life. The things that are the most essential for life, air, oxygen, is the most abundant. And now he's going to go through a list. The next thing that's most essential and is abundant, but not quite as much as air, is water. After that is food. After that is clothing. After that is shelter. And as you go down the scale of essentiality for life, things become less abundant and they start costing money. And the best things in life are free. Air is free, except if you need some in your tires. I don't know about air. In America, when I left it, they started charging. Water used to be pretty free, but then, you know, we want water in our kitchens to come out of the faucet when we turn it on. So Mekorot had to dry up a lot of biblical springs and beautiful places of running water. It's really, if you ever go and have a guide show you, dried up Mayanos, because Mekoros did it. So we're not sad, we're happy, because we want running water in our houses, because we want running water. It's an advancement of society. So now it costs money, water. But in the Chovas HaLulavos' world, it was free, and it was second to air in abundance. But the point is, look at this world. How can you not see Hashem? The more you need something, the more abundant it is. The more humanity needs something, the more abundant it is. The more available it is. Tim Tzayim Barabu V'ma'ot, you'll find their plentifulness, or their scarcity, with Yirov HaTzorech Aleihem, in proportion to how they are needed. B'chol HaShe'i HaTzorech Eilav Gadol, the more something is needed, Yiyah Mezuman V'nimtza. Amazing. It will be more readily available. Whatever you can do without, not totally, even on a sliding scale, less than air, less than water, less than food, as you go down, it becomes more and more scarce or not as abundant and that much harder to come by. Imagine if you had walk to the place where there was still oxygen to breathe. You think about it. The oxygen comes to you. Even water doesn't come to you. Even if someone comes to all of us, you had to go to the water. We're not in the Midbar anymore, where you have the Eresh El Miriam, right? The water doesn't come to you. You go to the water. But oxygen comes to you. Complements of winds, complement of the atmosphere, complements of the climate, and but primarily wind. The Gemara says if not for wind, the world couldn't survive. It's all because of, there's always a little, it's bringing the air to you, or else you use up the air and you got to keep moving to keep breathing. Really, that's how it should be. I mean, everything else is like that. Hashem brings the air to you. Vadimyum bazeh, so we'll start with the example of Avir Hanishof, the air that we breathe. Can't live without breathing, even a short while. Himtziu haboreus baruch ba'olam, so that's plentiful. It's available. The whole world's filled with atmosphere, oxygen, to breathe. Pump what a person needs is here. V'hizmino hazmono she'enem naz mishum adam, and Hashem provided it in a way that it's abundant, it's not denied to anyone, except maybe in California, or where they pollute the air. I think whenever you read about Rabbi Victor Miller, Satzal, so one of the stories that's told in almost any compilation of stories about him is that his son sees him once in the kitchen, and he's by the sink, and he's turned on, and there's water. He's like water flowing over his face. My high, his son asks him. He says, "Someone remarked how it's very unhealthy to breathe the air. It's very bad outside. The pollution or the weather, very bad. And I'm afraid I will lose my appreciation, my bechina, my appreciation, my gratitude to Hashem for providing us with air, because the air is no good." So I want to see what it feels to not be able to breathe for a few seconds. And then he pulls his head away and says, "Ah, what do you mean the air is not so good? Better than not being able to breathe at all. Thank you, Hashem, for air, for oxygen." Uvachol eitz uvachol zman, summer, winter, day, night, North Pole, the equator, South Pole, there's air to breathe. The world has air, and it doesn't go up that much. How much does it go up, air to breathe? I don't know. Around 10 miles up, when do you leave the atmosphere that you can't breathe anymore? There's all different types of atmospheres I learned in school. I forgot it by now, but I think it's around 10 miles that you could breathe.
By the time you get to the top of Everest, you need oxygen packs.
You need water. It's not as essential. You don't have to drink every second. You have to breathe every second, but you don't have to drink every second. So shilcham abore p'nei kol aretz. Water's over, what is it, 2/3 of the world is water? And it's streams and lakes and wells and mayonos and oceans. The kibtza b'mokum yuchad, and you know where it is. Shaholchem balei chayim elav. First of all, animals, all living creatures, go to where there's water. Einu nimna mehem. They can find water. Elo she'enu b'chol mokum kaver. It's not everywhere like here. Isn't that interesting? We need water a little less. It's a little less available. Mevi'im osim b'domim. And sometimes, hey, how do you like that? Sometimes it costs money. New York City, right? Chavis HaLovas. Very modern. Sometimes it costs money. L'ktsas b'nei adam. Ashenkin b'avir. Avir's always free. So you say, listen how we think, or I think. What are you talking about? Of course air is free. Like, how would it not be free? No one could sell it. It's not possible. No, that's his point. That's how Hashem made it. Hashem made it that it's free. Hashem made it that it's not possible for anyone to capture air and to sell it to you. That's exactly the point. Everything in the world is orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the lesson of Shar HaBechina. And the chiddush of the Chavis HaVavos, which is maybe, I don't know if it's unique, but it's very sharp, that even man-made, okay, now we're not talking about man-made things, but I want to go back and remind you about it. We talked about history, history and Klal Yisrael and Golus and inventions. He talked about inventions. It's all Min HaShemayim. So if you say Chazal Allah, this is a weird, because how could anyone sell ear? But that's exactly the point, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the system in that no one could sell ear. It's free, and water a little less available, possibly you could sell it. It's more readily available to some than to others. Water, right? Air is all over the world. Water, you can live in an area which is more arid, A-R-I-D, and it doesn't have, there's more temperate zones, there's different, you could, there's already is more, it could be different, there could be more water, less water. Ba'avir, air, shavu b'mitziyuso, ba'asagoso, l'kulam tamar alinyan echad. So, thank you Hashem. Thank Hashem for air, thank Hashem for breathing, thank Hashem for a glass of water. I'm not even talking about the earlier part of Shara Bechina, which would say to us, this is anase water. What's water? It's two gases, oxygen and hydrogen, right? H2O, yeah. and it produces water. There's some chemical reaction that happens somewhere that makes water. The mixture of hydrogen and oxygen, right? It's not like you put some sugar in your tea and you mix it. So there's some chemical, electrical, I don't know what it is. It's an ace. A liquid is formed by two gases. Okay, so when you say Hashahakol Niyah Bidvaro on water, gotta eat. Eating is already less than water. El Shev Shalamad Bizuloso, you can exist without it, but Limtso Tumuroso, there's different kinds of food, more nutritious, less nutritious, you can make up for something you can't find. Right? Water's water. Food, you have meat, you have vegetables, you have proteins, minerals, right, of all different things. So you could find substitutes for what you don't have. You can do without it, you can find substitutes much more so than air and water. It's that much more difficult to obtain. It's not difficult, but it's that much more difficult on the sliding scale. Its availability is not as much as water. Right? No one's giving you food for free. The restaurant will give you water for free, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. They'll give you free water. But they won't give you free food. You walk in, you're not going to be giving me free water, and you're not giving me free food. Ella Shahuim Kolza Nimtaharbi. But still, there is plenty of food. Don't listen to Mr. Malthusian, whatever his name is. There's plenty of food. Malthusian theory, the world's going to starve. I think it was around 50 years ago it's going to starve. Because when I was in school, I learned about it. And they made us nervous. The food that the people who are starving don't have is generally stolen by the corrupt leaders and pocket the money that they sell it for. Usually. Hashem made different kinds. There's always his galusin of rice and different kinds of food. Generally. Not as much as air and water, but Ela Shehuim calls it Nimtz Arbe, pretty abundant. Benonim the Klal Mibnei Adam. I don't know, I wasn't mature enough to think of Shara Bechina, but I used to, like, in Manhattan, I grew up in New York, so sometimes, I go into Manhattan just to walk around and look around. Like, on every block, there's like 10 food stores, whether it's a restaurant, or a bakery, or a fish store, or a meat store, like, and here also, I mean, everywhere. There's food. You don't have parnosa. You could open a makolet with all the supermarkets. You could still open a local makolet, and there's food, and there's all kinds of and the world produces food, whether it's animals giving milk and meat and growing crops and fruits and vegetables, and everybody, and there's trucks. You know, everybody's delivering food, buying food. Mechenodos amalbushim. We go to clothing. Clothing is not as necessary as food and water. You can do without new clothing for a pretty long time. Oh, I'm talking to women. Wait a second. Min, I don't mean that. Not these women. You're wonderful. Min ha'oros, you have clothing, but still you have a multitude of choices. You have from skin, which is leather or fur, if you want a fur coat. Batsemer is wool. Tzmochem is plants, that's cotton or linen. Now we have polyester and man-made materials. Because of those didn't know from that. But that's also from Hashem, right? Yesh lehem tmura yosem and amachal. You can get along without them, longer than without food. V'hasagosem yosem u'uta. And in scale, in that scale, they're more limited. Their availability is more limited. So food, everything grows, but food is more plentiful than cotton. And wool and leather are from animals, but they're not as plentiful as meat. Elala achazman, and also food, clothing at the process, usually. You can't just, water, you don't have to process. In the bria, you don't have to process water. If man messed up, so maybe you have to purify your water with a water filter. But you don't have to process water, but you have to get the food. To get the clothing, you have to process clothing. It's that much less available, that much more expensive, that much harder to create. Can't just take wool off the sheep and start wearing it. Stopping man b'ma'at b'zman oruch, he could have relatively fewer clothing for a long time. Much less than food. And if you follow along, wood is more available than iron, because you need wood, because they use wood for cooking, for heating, to build furniture. Wood is more available than iron. Iron is more available than gold. Precious stone, that you can do without. You don't need it at all. Your life could be very full without it. But you need it for money, for currency, as we explained. But it's certainly a more remote benefit than air or water or food or clothing. Because it's artificial, it's only worth things because people have agreed to assign value to them, so that's a miracle. So people don't have these minerals as they have food. You have a person who has these things, or you find a gold mine in Africa or wherever there's gold and you mine it, but that's no different to food or to water. So it's a nace. A nace is a famous Chavis Halbavis idea, that the more we need something, the more mankind needs something, the more in abundance it is, the more available it is, and the easier to acquire it is. And it's mamash a sliding scale. And that's something we should think about and appreciate. Now he's coming like to the end, and he's saying, you know, it's not just what did he say? How does this help us? It helps us first of all see Hashem and be aware of Hashem. It's every man's Shar HaYichud. That's how Chavis Halbavis really what he said in the beginning, that Shar HaBechina is every man's Shar HaYichud. Wow, there's Hashem. And you see Hashem's wisdom and Hashem's world planning, design, purpose, Hashem's chesed, and now he's going to more focus on that last thing. You know, he's like, oh, does Hashem care about me? Look what's going on in my life. Does Hashem care about me? So that's one of the things we know in Bitachon, is to realize and internalize that, of course, Hashem cares about you and us, and loves us and cares about us. But he says, if you have in doubt, think that he made a world and he designed it to produce what people need. So he's obviously working with us.
He's working with us. He designed this universe. And then the more you know its complexity, the more amazed you are at the complexity. And you say, but the purpose of it all, and that's what he says, Yishtaba Chabori HaChocham, praised be Habore HaChocham, the wise creator, HaChomel Vamarachem Al Avodov, who acts with mercy towards Avodov, Asher Eino Aleim L'Tolva, B'chom Ashiyesh Bo Takanosom, he just is constantly doing things which are for their benefit. You can perceive it that way and see it that way 99% of the time. It is like that 100% of the time, but we can actually perceive it and realize it and feel it 99% of the time. And Eloa mi baladov. I shouldn't have said that, right? It's not a Shem Hashem about Tolo, because we're learning, but it's always wise when learning never to say Shem Hashem. I just did by accident. You should say Eloka. And Eloka mi baladov. Kmo Shama Leona, that the world testifies to Hashem's kindness. Hashem said to Yonah, "Ato chasta la kikoyon asher lo amalto bo v'lo kidalto." Where they're talking about the plant that shielded Yonah from the sun, and then it withered away, and he felt terrible. He says, "Oh, you're worried about the plant. You're not really worried about the plant. You're worried about yourself, and you didn't make the plant. It's not your plant. If you've been laila hoya or been laila over, this is a pasuk in Yonah." Vanilo ochos al ninve hoir hagadola. Right, Yonah was upset. He was actually upset that Hashem took pity on the people of Nineveh. They did tshuva, and tshuva is based on chesed and on Hashem having rachmanus. And he was upset. The Mefarshim explain it in different ways, but that's the bottom line. So he goes into, and he falls asleep, and the sun beats down on him, and a gourd plant grows quickly and protects him from the sun, and then it gets destroyed by worms, and Yonah like, oh no, oh man. So Hashem said to them, you care more about the Gikoyim plant than you do for the people of Nineveh. Now this is Hashem speaking, so to speak. Not so to speak, Yonah was a Navi. Hashem was communicating with him. Nineveh was Goyim, right? V'rachamov al kol ma'asov, we say all these expressions in Ashrei. Tov Hashem lakol, v'rachamov al kol ma'asov, and He, of course Hashem has rachmanus on all the inhabitants of the world. This pasuk we just quoted. Tov Hashem lakol v'rachamov al kol ma'asov. So we just finished Perek Hamishi of Shar HaBechina. And now we're going to learn Perek Shishi, and that's the last Perek in Shar HaBechina. And now Mrs. Noel has to put our thinking cap on what we're going to learn next. But we're starting Perek Shishi. And this is what he does in every shahr, I think every shahr, I'll say it to be on the safe side, not to say something not true, virtually every shahr. The last parak is devoted to what messes us up. Why can't we do this? It's so obvious when you learn Chavis HaLevavos, then you walk out of the room. Well, people who don't learn Chavis HaLevavos, they're not busy with this, they never thought about it, they never thank Hashem for their nose, never thanked Hashem for the air they're breathing. You have to learn, you have to study. So, ach matzideh habachina, the thing that makes you lose, the things that ruin, bechina, badvar matluyim bo, which is gratitude, hakaras, gadlus Hashem, etc. Omar, so, first, number one, all the things that make you disregard or not think about Shar HaYichud, Kulo Mafsideh HaBechina. In other words, if you don't have the sense that Hashem is real, that Hashem is, you know, this is the problem for most of history, was that people had no problem with thinking of Hashem as the creator of the world, but they had a problem thinking of him as caring about what goes on in the world and running what goes on in the world. And then of course you see tragedies and you see problems, and then you say, well, what's going on here? So that weakens our sense of Hashem. And it really, it goes back to Emunah. It goes back to Shar HaYichud. And part of Emunah is that Hashem not only created the world and is the master of the world, but Hashem is here and he's running the world and he knows exactly what's going on. And there's a cheshbon for everything that happens because he causes it to happen, and everything is deserved and everything is b'cheshbon, and every person is put in this world for a reason, and Hashem maneuvers that person's life so that every person amongst the billions and billions and billions of people, every person's life is maneuvered to maximize the potential for them to perfect their neshama, not to be rich and not to have even a comfortable life, as gishmak as it is, but it's to maximize their neshamas, to maximize their spiritual lives, which sometimes, and this is what Ramchal says in Derech Hashem, we'll never know. This is beyond even what Nevi'im could figure out. This soul was chosen to overcome anger. This soul was chosen to deal with being well off and having enough money for everything that they want, basically. This soul was chosen to deal with poverty. This soul was chosen to deal with Isurin. This soul was chosen to deal with children that don't work out the way we'd like them to work out. And this soul was chosen to deal with parents who sometimes can be very difficult to deal with, especially as they get older and we get older and we have different obligations. Having parents could be very, very difficult many times. And then there's all the middos of laziness and doing things lishma and simcha. And I mean, I'm saying 5-10 things, but it's absurd because the Ramchal, I said in the Drosh HaShabbos, the Ramchal describes the nuances of every midah, and everybody lives at a different point in history, and everybody has a different life, and every neshama is put here. This is a truism. Everybody, first of all, is here for a reason. There's no extras in Hashem's play. No extras. Everybody is playing a key role because they have a neshama and they have to perfect their neshama. And it's great if we could figure out, like, this is also hard because we're so distant from Hashem and from Nevuah and from Ruach HaKodesh, and we're worn down by Golos, and we're worn down by atheism, and we're worn down by newspapers and news, and we're just worn down by a general atmosphere and of not feeling Hashem. And the Industrial Revolution had a tremendous impact upon that, I always say, because it's just a different story, ball game. When you're planting and you look up to Shemayim and you need it to rain and you need it not to get too hot and no Arbesh should come and disease and Shidofon and Yerokon and all the things, just ask any farmer. Now the Industrial Revolution, but you're closer to Hashem. And now we have running water, so we don't pray for rain the way they used to. They used to pray for rain because if it doesn't rain, they're aftzaras. And we think if it doesn't rain, our water bill's going to go up a lot. Or they'll say, I can't water my flower bed more than once a week. That's our big tzara, we think. So we're menutak from Hashem more and more, and it's because we're going to a battle. So anything that's going to take us from Hashem's reality is going to be going to take us from feeling gratitude. Because when we see something, we don't think it's Hashem. When we see a sidewalk, we don't think it's Hashem. Then put the idea in someone's head, say, this is where vehicles go, and this is where people walk. And I don't have to always stop for every time a vehicle comes. There's a system where the people walk where they walk, and the vehicles go where they go. So you say, but someone thought of that. Yeah, but Hashem put it in his head. Yeah, you have a question?
I don't know if I'm not out of line with this Rocco, but I feel like, kind of like we were programmed in a way that we were missing that little something. thousand years ago, Chavos Levavos wrote this. And I think of like Mishael, 2 seconds before getting the Torah was mm-hmm. the Ego. And all the Torah that we read, and then the Nevi'im and everything, so we keep making errors, either going to vote or
absolutely. Hashem programmed us. Everything the Chavos Levavos is now, he's not describing. He's not describing evil people. He's describing normal people. He wants, this is Bechira, this is Nisayon, and this is why we were put into this world. If everybody would recognize the reality of Hashem the way they recognize their mother and father, or Yodar, if we would really fulfill what the Navi says, Yodashar Koneo Bachamore Vuzba Alov, Israel Lo Yada Milo Hizbonan, if we would, so then there would be no Bechira. And therefore, Hashem, you're very, very right. But what the Chavos Levavos is pointing out, the brilliance of the system is that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. That's what he's doing. He's saying, these are the problems. You're 1,000% right. The problems are programmed by Hashem. That would be part of Shara Bechina. But when you realize that, so then you don't have to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to be Avraham Avinu and sit there and philosophize and figure out everything. It's all there already. We just have to say, okay, I know where I want to get to, but I have these issues. And he's feeding us. He's feeding us the program that stops it from being automatic. The reason it's not automatic is so that we should earn through, right? That's part of being alive. That's also Chesed Hashem. Part of Chesed Hashem is that we earn our keep, so to speak. We earn our nitzchius. We earn our bonding to Him. So He programmed us to have problems. But the Chavos Levavos is pointing out the problems. So, meaning we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We just have to be on the alert. And all it takes is a little thought. That's another, like, yisod permeating the whole Sefer Chavos Levavos. That we have to use our heads. We have to be more aware. Not do things by rote. Think about things. He wants us to walk in the street. He wants us to devote who knows how long every day to Shara HaBechina. So, we can do that. We can devote 20 minutes a day. You know, who has time? We have so many time-saving devices that we don't have any time left. The time is all saved up in the machine, the time-saving devices. We don't have any time. He wants you to take a nice walk in the morning and look and think about the air and think about the flowers and think about food and think about... And Rabbi Avigdor Miller Zatzal on his tapes always said, when you say Moda Menachnu Loch and Shmona Esrei, pick one thing to think about. Just one thing. You don't have to do the whole Shara Mechina. You'll never finish Shmona Esrei. Just pick one thing. You said modem, so you see your shoes. Chas v'shalom, you have your eyes closed. But you look down and you see your shoes, and you go, wow, thank you, Hashem. I could walk in the street and not be afraid of a stone. I have orthopedic shoes. Well, thank you, Hashem. I really have flat feet. So why did Hashem make flat feet? And give me shoes to correct it so that I should appreciate what could be done. So you're absolutely right, and that's part of the it never ends, and that's why the Chavos Levavos holds that a person's primary task in this world is to feel grateful and to acknowledge Hashem, and that's why it's always Shara Bechina and Shara Yichud is two sides of a coin, because it never ends. And then once you figure it out and you've reached a certain madrega, Chavos Levavos wants you to say, thank you, Hashem, for giving me the ability to figure that out. Because where did that come from? It's a little depressing, because Chavos Levavos then points out that's why we never really catch up. It's very hard to catch up. We can't catch up. We can never thank Hashem enough, because as soon as we're like with the horse, you know, the carrot, you know, he's chasing that carrot. As soon as he reaches it, you know, you pull it away some more, because you have to thank Hashem for that. But that's part of the fun. This is why we always, 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 never ending thank Hashem. And that's what we say in Nishpas. Ilufinu malashira kayom ulushenenu minon kamon galov v'sifsosenu shevach kamarchavei rokiya v'heinenu me'irus hashemesh v'chayareyach v'yedenu frusus kudusha shemoyim v'glenu kolas kailos ein anachla maspikim lohudu t'chla Hashem alokenu v'gayav ulsenu al achas me'elef alfei alofim v'ribe nishma is a beautiful prayer. I think some people don't want to say it once a week. They run to the Kosel to see the salamander, or whatever they're going to see. And they say Nishmas at the Kosel. Or, you know, my wife said Nishmas when she gave birth. That's what they said. It says in the Svarim to say Nishmas then. But Nishmas is a beautiful prayer that brings out this idea. And really, say, what do Malachim do a whole day? Malachim praise Hashem, thank Hashem. They thank Hashem for their existence. They thank Hashem for giving them the ability to thank Hashem. And it's never ending, but it's never ending, but it's easy. It's we have to overcome the obstacles. He says the first obstacle is not thinking about Hashem. That's what I always say, and I'll say it again. The evil of newspapers goes beyond the pictures of the newspapers. Goes beyond apikursus of the newspapers. It's a more subtle apikursus. The evil of all newspapers, from newspapers, Haredi newspapers, Basheva newspaper, every single newspaper describes events. No newspaper says, and then Hashem did this, and then Hashem did that. No newspaper. The from ones will throw in Be'ezus Hashem or Bechazdei Hashem. They'll throw it in, or else they'll lose readers. But the whole idea of this is a very big, this is what I think, that's the evil of newspapers, is that it pulls you away from Hashem. So we have to overcome these obstacles, which now Perek Vav will pinpoint the obstacles. And again, Baruch Hashem, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We just have to overcome the obstacles. And it's a natural. It should be natural to feel gratitude. It's only because we don't think about it. We're used to it. We feel entitled to everything. We don't recognize it as a favor. No one ever thinks about, I don't know, the enamel on their teeth, like what a chesed it is, or anything. Because it's micro, macro. You go up, down to the DNA molecule, and up to all the galaxies up there. It's like, talk of never ending. Yeah.
He programmed them to give Sheva. That's a very good question.
I wish I knew the answer. Perhaps it's that we should learn from them. So that we will see, well, like, what's the highest madrega of spirituality? Malachim, we would say. Right? Malachim. No, fine. But that is the highest level of spirituality, right? Beyond the tzaddik, beyond Moshe Rabbeinu. A malach. And what do the malachim do? What is their... What do they do? So what does a spiritual being do? Acknowledges and praises Hashem. That's a tremendous limud. And maybe that limud... I have a big akasha why we need all those billions and billions and billions of stars and galaxies. I don't know, maybe to learn about them and just to see pictures of them and to say, wow, who gave Mr. Hubble all that seichel to make such a telescope? It says, we say in Halleluka, right, Mona Mispar Lakochavim L'chulam Shemos Yikra. Each star has a name, and we know what a name is. A name is the essence of a thing, and it, so you know how many stars there are? Unbelievable amount. And each one has a name and a purpose. Sure. First of all, forget, before you get to Malachim names, there's 10 types of Malachim. There's Malachim, and Srofim, and Ofanim, and Chayos HaKodesh. There's a whole hierarchy there. You know, you gotta go through 10 years of college to become a Malach. You don't start off as a Malach is, I think, the lowest Madrega. The highest is maybe, I don't have, the Rambam lists 10 madregos of malachim, what we call malachim as a general generic term. There's 10 madregos, and there's billions and billions of malachim, but there's billions and billions of stars, and each one has a name. Well,
like that's more real to us. Stars, and each one has a name, each one has a specific purpose. How am I supposed to figure it out? I don't know.
Thank you,
Rabbi. Yeah. Very good, yeah. Very good. You see, we're thinking Shara Bechina. Thank you. Thank you. Yeshikoyah. Very good suggestion.